Way back in the first century, there were people of the way. And these people were followers of Jesus. And because of that, their lives were radically different. And so the people that surrounded them decided to call him a name. What was that name? Christians. And what did it mean? Christ ones. The people remembered the life of the historic Jesus, the Christ, and that he lived a radically different life. And now these people of the way who claim to be his followers are people who live radically different lives. Why? How do they do that? How do they respond the way they do? How do they deal with the things they do? The people that oppress them, that put them down, that persecute them, and yet they love them. How do they do that? The title of today's message is What's in a Name? We are Christians. Why? Because we are in Christ. That is, if you are here this morning and you have surrendered yourself in faith to Jesus Christ, you are in Christ. That means a lot. Do we know what that means? We need to. Let me read the passage from Romans chapter 6 now that we are studying. Let me begin at the beginning of the chapter. The Apostle Paul is championing the doctrine of grace. Grace meaning that God has invested himself in us. And that's what we're unpacking through this study through the book of Romans. Chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? We need to know what it means when the Bible says that we have died to sin. Verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. The apostle submits a basic understanding of God's redemptive grace. And that is that life in sin cannot coexist with death to sin. We have died to sin. Therefore, a life in sin cannot coexist with death to sin in the same person. They are mutually exclusive. This is what God's grace has done for us. And so those that would posit a question that exists in verse 1, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? That question, by definition, betrays a fundamental misunderstanding of what God's grace is. We as Christians are not just forgiven. It's not that I've just been forgiven, but I just go on living the same old way I've always lived. No. I have been forgiven and regenerated, redeemed and reconciled and regenerated. God has made something new out of me because I am His. I am in Christ. Now, you know that, don't you? But do we really know that? Have we really come to grips with that? Do I understand the news? Do I understand that I am dead to sin? This is why chapter 6 is so important. We cannot come to grips with a newness that we have in Christ until we first understand that we are dead to sin, those of us who are in Christ. Very, very important to understand. So, three things today from verses 3, 4, and 5 that the Christian must know. Three things that the Christian must know. Instead of fundamentally misunderstanding grace I must know these three things. Number one, my identity. My identity. Verse 3, do you not know? As many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death. This speaks of identity. What is my identity as a Christian? And again, I'm not just speaking of a title. We're not just dealing with titles and semantics here, okay? We're dealing with what words mean. The truth that is reality in me because I am in Christ. These are the things that I must understand. Who am I? What defines me? Now, we need to understand this word baptized, as it appears in verse 3. It's the word baptizo. We're very familiar with that word. It means to dip or to sink in, to immerse, to whelm, a definition says. In other words, to overwhelm. You might see some pictures from the news media of people that in Afghanistan went to the polls and they voted for a president. Democratic elections they'd ever had there. And what did they do to show that they had voted? They dipped their finger in purple. I don't know what purple it was, what it was exactly, but it was purple. And when their people, When their finger came out, it was what? Purple. It identified them. So they dipped their finger, they put their finger in it, and it came out, and they had the identification as one who had voted. This word, bapto or baptizo, has very much that meaning. Any of you ever dyed a shirt? You take a white t-shirt, you stick it in a bowl of hot red dye, and you let it soak in there. You bring that shirt out, and the shirt is what? Red. It's not a hard question, was it? The shirt is red. You see, there is a permanent identification there. And Paul tells us in verse 3 that we were baptized into Christ Jesus. That being the fact, we were baptized into His death. Now, what this means here, with the use of this word, is that we were, as a believer, we're going to unpack this as I go, but I am a believer, I am in Christ because I have surrendered myself in faith to Jesus Christ. That places me in Christ. Okay? Because of that, God has placed me into a new environment so that it alters my condition. That's the use of this word here, baptizo. Placing into a new environment so as to alter its condition. What is my condition that has been altered? I am now dead to sin. Verse 11, the key verse for this chapter. Reckon yourselves also to be dead indeed to sin. Is that where it ends? No. My condition is also altered in the sense that I am alive to God. That is how my condition is altered, because I am now placed into the environment, into Jesus Christ. So my relationship to sin has changed. My relationship to God has also changed, because my relationship to sin has changed. These are things that we must understand. Now, as examples of this word baptized, a couple other places that it's used in the New Testament. For example, we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2, where it speaks about all Israel was baptized into Moses. Now, does this mean that they all went into the waters of baptism and maybe some 2.5 million people, he all dipped them under the water and brought them out? No. Do you have any idea how long it would take him to do that? Instead, he just walked them through the Red Sea, right? But on dry ground. But the meaning there of that word baptized is that they went on an extended camping trip with Moses. They were led out of bondage, out of Egypt, called out to God to be His people, and with Moses, in other words, they did life with Him and they were under His authority. So they were baptized into Moses. That's the use of that word in 1 Corinthians 10:2. We find that word also in 1 Corinthians 12:13, where it speaks of us as believers, that we, the Spirit, as I place my faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit baptizes me into the body of Christ. If you are in Christ, you are a member of the body of Christ. There's no Lone Ranger Christians. Christianity is so not about individualism. It's about the body of Christ. It's about community. Because God is community. Therefore, we are brought into the community of God. And that word baptized, by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. What does that mean? It means identification. It means connection. It means direction. All of us moving in the same direction. And that direction is God's clearly defined purpose in His Word for us. So, being baptized into the body of Christ, it is my identity, my identification. It's a sense of belonging that we, as God's people in God's family, we do life together. And there is a particular authority there. Authority that has been granted the church, according to the Word of God. And so, by that sense, we are baptized into the body, Christ Himself being the head of that body, as Paul writes to the church at Colossae. So, understanding this, the verse that we read today, the understanding of baptized, being baptized into, is what Paul means when he says in Colossians 3:3, listen to these words, "For you died, and your life is what? Hidden with Christ in God." Now envision that. You are whelmed in God. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Let me try, if I can, to paint a picture of that. When you surrender yourself in faith to Jesus Christ, you are then placed in Christ. You're rescued from the domain of darkness, translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. You are in Christ. Let me put it this way. Jesus becomes your environment. What do you mean, Rich? What is the environment for a fish?
Water.
This is not a hard question, is it? I'm not giving you any hard questions today, have I? The environment for a fish is water. As water is to the fish while I am in Christ, as I am in Christ, Christ is to me as water to the fish. He is my environment because I am in Christ. And while I am in Christ, I am what? Alive. As long as the fish is in the water, it's okay, right? You pull the fish out of the water and what happens? Choke. See, and we're all born in this problem of being out of the water. When we surrender ourselves in faith to Jesus Christ, God says, here you go, fresh water. Swim, live, do what a fish does. And when we're in Christ, He says, do what I designed you to do. That's God's grace. Christ is my environment. My life is hidden with Christ in God. I've been baptized into Jesus Christ. You know, this ought to challenge us. Let me just sidestep here for a minute. This ought to challenge us how we present Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and you've not placed your faith in Jesus Christ, let me caution you about something here. Because some people would say, well, you know, what you need to do is just try Jesus. That's like telling a fish to try the water. Listen, we don't dabble in faith. It is a commitment. Either the fish is in the water and lives, or it's not. And there's no in between. You can't dabble in Jesus Christ. This, folks, is why I use the word surrender. We must surrender ourselves to Him in faith, because that's what faith is. We were born with the problem of preeminence, and that self-preeminence has to die if Christ is going to be in me. Because he cannot co-rule with my self-preeminence. We cannot come to God on our own terms. And so I realize my identity, that I am in Christ. I am alive in Christ. That is who I am. Now, why is that? The second thing that we need to know is this. As a Christian, I must know my history. I must know my history. Why must I know my history? Because my history is the basis of my identity. And this is what Paul begins to unpack here in verses 3, 4, and 5. My history says that I have been united with Him. What I want to begin with here is two historical points. My being in Christ is built upon and based upon two historical points. One, back in history, when Jesus died on the cross and He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's based on that. That important historical point. Put that together with the fact that 3 days later, Jesus was buried after He died, and then 3 days later, He rose from the dead. He walked out of the grave. Okay? A historical point. Listen, you understand why it's so important to know, and for the world to know, that there is a historicity to Christianity. This isn't myth, this is history. And we must know our history. The second historical point is this. That point in time when I surrendered myself in faith to Jesus Christ. What does the apostle tell us in chapter 4? That Christ's righteousness is imputed, credited to those of us who do what? Believe. I understand something here. Jesus' death on the cross and my faith in Him are separated by about 1,940 years. How does that happen? How does that work? We must know our history. Let me get back to that later. So pull back with me here in the notes, okay? Two historical points. Moments in space and time, as Francis Schaeffer would put it. The moment that Christ died on the cross, and the moment that I, by faith, surrendered to Him. Now, here's a word here that Paul uses, that we were buried with Him. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death. Baptism meaning identification. We are placed in Christ. My identification, my identity is built upon my history. Okay? I was buried with Him. What is that speaking of? That is the speaking of the reality of death. I died. I experienced the alienation of the Father, which is the necessary judgment of God, the necessary wrath of God. In Christ, I died. Bear with me here. I was united with Christ in that experience. E.F. Harrison says this about it. The fact that he uses the word buried. Okay, there you go. You're buried. Jesus died and He was buried. And I'm united with Him in His burial. That word, the idea of being buried, expresses with finality the end of the old life governed by relationship with Adam. I mean Adam in Genesis 1. Buried expresses with finality the end of the old life governed by relationship with Adam. What does Paul tell us? In Adam all do what? Die. But in Christ all what? Shall be made alive. So there is a change in my condition because there is a change in my relationship to sin and my relationship to God. There is a change in my condition. I am crucified with Christ. That is the death of Adam in me. As he says later on, that the old man has been crucified. What does that mean? Dead. Remember, we need to define that very carefully. Now, here's the important part. The finality, the end of the old life, governed by relationship with Adam, that is now dead. I am dead to sin. But you see, it doesn't just end there. God didn't leave a vacuum. Because he says, I am also united with Christ in the likeness of his what? Resurrection. That's my history. In the likeness of his resurrection. What is this? This is the biblical doctrine of regeneration. Born again. Born of God. Born anew. I have been raised up to new life because I was united with Christ in his resurrection. What does this mean? This means that death no longer rules. If you go back to chapter 5, verse 21, so that as sin reigned in death, that's not true anymore. In me, that's not true because I'm in Christ. My history has changed. Death no longer rules, something else does. Now this word united, let's stop for a minute here and just unpack that. That's the word sumphutoi. It's two words put together, sum, a prefix. It means to grow jointly. To grow jointly. Spring up with would be a very literal translation of it. To spring up with. To grow jointly. That word can actually be used of conjoined twins. The same bloodstream runs through them. Right? That's what we are with Christ. Christ lives in me. His blood runs in my veins. Because I am raised to new life with him. All that goes to say this. Look at verse 4 with me again. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. All of this is based in history. And it's based in the history of one person, Jesus Christ, the God-man, your Creator, your Redeemer. And the fact that I am united with him, I grow jointly with him, I'm united with him in his death, his burial, and his resurrection, all of it means this, his history becomes mine. His history becomes mine. When Jesus was nailed to the cross and he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was my cry that he cried. When they took him down from the cross and they buried him in the tomb, that was my tomb. And when he walked out, I walked out with him. Isn't that good news? We must understand these things. You see, that's my history now. That is my history. Because I am united with Christ in his history. Now, to help us understand this, you say, Rich, how can that happen? I came to Christ in 1975. So, give or take a few years, my faith in Christ was separated from his actual death in history by about 1,940 years. That's a long time. How can that happen? The first thing we must remember is what God is like. What is God like? God is infinite. He is infinite. And so he sees everything from his infinite perspective. And that's what we must understand. Those two historical points when Jesus died on the cross and then when I placed my faith in him and I surrendered myself to him in faith. Those two historical points. God, from his infinite perspective, saw the death of Christ and at the same time, he saw the faith of Rich Powell. And he said, what? Justified in Christ. That's why it's very important for us to understand the doctrines that we unpacked in chapter 3. Those very important words of imputation, justification, propitiation first, then redemption, then faith, then imputation, then justification. Imputation, the propitiation is Jesus dying on the cross and absorbing the wrath of God in my place. And redemption, that He paid the purchase price to rescue me from my sin and to release me to life in God. But that requires my faith, my response to Him. And because I respond to Him in faith, then the righteousness of Jesus Christ is credited to my account. God, in His infinite perspective, saw it all happen at one time. We'll never understand that because we'll never be infinite, will we? But that's who God is. And because He saw me in Christ from before the foundation of the world, He said, "Rich is mine, and this is the plan I have for him." Has He said the same thing about you? Are you in Christ today? Is His history yours? You know, today could be that day. It could be that before the foundation of the world, He saw you and He says, on this day, they will surrender themselves in faith to me. They are mine. And He's known that from eternity. There's not ever been a time He didn't know that. That's God. That's His business. Very, very important. But understand, what I must know as a believer, first of all, I must know my identity, that I am in Christ. I am free and alive in Him to do what God designed me to do, be what God designed me to be. And secondly, my identity is based on my history. Christ's history is my history because I'm in Him. My life is hidden with Christ in God. Therefore, His justification is mine. His righteousness is mine. His death is mine. His life is mine. All of it. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. So as a Christian, I must know my identity. I must know my history. Thirdly, I must know my ability. Middle of verse 4, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. My ability is the ability to walk in newness of life. Now, this is not presented as an imperative here. This is an indicative. Right? Even so, we also should, that we might walk in newness of life. In other words, what he's presenting here is the truth that in Christ, I have a new source of life. What does that mean? It's what Paul says to the Corinthians, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creation. I'm not the same Rich Powell before he believed in Christ. I am new. That has radical implications with it. I'm created in Christ Jesus. So here brings us to the example, the illustration of a dying branch. A branch severed from the tree lying on the ground. Is that branch going to continue to live? No, it's dying a slow death. That's the condition of humanity. Now that illustration fails because that branch in the physical world doesn't have a will of its own. It doesn't have the capacity to respond, all right? Because it's not human. It's not person. But that's what we are. We are that dying branch on the ground. But when we surrender ourselves and our self-preeminence to Jesus Christ, God lifts us up and He places us in Christ. He grafts that dying branch back into the tree, that branch now has a new source of life. And that branch can now live and do what a branch does. What does a branch do? It produces fruit. First John 3:2, it says, "Behold, what manner of love," 1 John 3:1-2, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. Children of God. And that word is technon. It means born ones. Born ones. Born children. What does that mean? Born children, it means that the nature of the parent is handed down to the child. And when I am placed in Christ, His nature is granted to me because I am in Christ. You see, what is that nature? What is the nature of God? How would you describe it? Think about that. Describe the nature of God. He is holy. He is righteous. He is, put it in one word, perfect. Imagine that. Doesn't that give new meaning to when the Lord said to the people in the crowd, He says, unless your righteousness exceeds what? That of the scribes and the Pharisees. What do you mean? These guys kept the law to the T. No, He says, unless your righteousness exceeds theirs. How is that possible? There's only one way. When God grants His righteousness to you. And that alone happens in Jesus Christ. In Christ alone. You see, being a child of God, being a Christian, it's not just a title, is it? It's who I am. It's who I am. This is what the apostle wants us to grasp as he speaks of this. And who I am helps me to understand my ability. My identity, my history, my ability. What is my ability? That we also should walk in newness of life. That should is a might, so that we are able to walk in newness of life. That is now in Christ, that is my ability. I can walk in newness of life. He has created me, designed me, and equipped me to walk in newness of life. That newness of life means everything that He designed us to be from the very beginning. This is what Francis Schaeffer says. This is good. That we also should walk in newness of life. It isn't just something we ought to do. That's not what the apostle means here. But something that by God's grace is a very real possibility for us. It's about what we can do in Jesus Christ. That's good. That's good news. You see, now that I am in Christ, I am able to be transformed. I am able to walk in newness of life. I am able to become what God designed and intended me to be from the very beginning. It's like Paul says to the church at Ephesus, put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness in holiness. We can. Do you know your ability this morning? Do you know your identity? Do you recognize that Christ's history is yours? Let me first back up a second. Is that true about you? Have you surrendered yourself in faith to Christ to know that His history becomes yours? If you have not done that, you need to do that. Because if His history is not yours, you are not in right standing before God. And you remain that dead branch on the ground, dying a slow death. It's only headed for one place, and that's the burn pile. But God did the work so that you can be brought back up and reconciled to Him, so that you can draw life from Him. And be alive, and do what God designed you to do.